Chapter 2. Let's read. It says, chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn and my strength is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like you, Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let your arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggars from the ash heap and sets them among princes and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. For from heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn and strength of his anointed." Then Elkanah went to his house in Ramah, but the child ministered or served the Lord before Eli the priest. Just pray. Let's pray tonight. Let's ask the Lord that in this word that he'd be able to speak to us, that he would speak to us, that we'd have ears to listen, spiritual ears, and take in what the Lord wants to say tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, my God. Remember what Johnny was saying last week, that this is Hannah. Her husband is called Elkanah or Elkanah, and she has a how would you put it? She has, her husband's got 2 wives. So she's got a marriage in-law. Her husband's got 2 wives. She's one of the wives. Now the other woman, she's given her husband loads of children, and Hannah can't have children. The Lord said that she knew she couldn't have children. She knew it was of God, she couldn't have children. And she goes before Eli sees her. She goes into the temple and she prays. And she seeks the face of the Lord. And God grants a desire of her heart. He gives her a child. And she makes a promise and says, "Lord, when you give me this child, I will dedicate this child back to you to serve in the temple." So what she's got to do is give the child to the service of the temple, give him over. And it says that after the child was weaned, I suppose Samuel might have been 2, 2.5, maybe 3 year old, she takes him to the temple and gives him over. Now this is called Anna's Prayer, or this song records the worship that Hannah offered to the Lord on the day that she gave her son Samuel to the service of the Lord. It says here that, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn or my strength is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies." So what she's saying is that other woman was wicked to her. Her husband's other wife used to torment her and was wicked to her because she couldn't have children. And back in them days, the Jews used to believe that if there was some sort of, if you was ill or there was something wrong or something was going on in your life, it was because God was judging you. It was some sort of judgment from the Lord. So the other woman thinks she's all cushy because she's given her husband a load of children. But her husband didn't care. He loved Anna. It wasn't a problem for him. It was a problem for Anna. And it says, look, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My whole, my strength is exalted in the Lord. That, Lord, you have lifted me up. And I smile at my enemies. So basically saying like, yeah, you ain't laughing now. You ain't saying nothing to me now. Now I've got a child. Because I rejoice in my salvation. And this is the day she says this prayer. When they go to the temple to worship, and she hands Samuel over to the service of the Lord. He left their home, never to return again. She gave her child to the service of the Lord, and he left her home, never to return again. By giving Samuel to the service of God, Hannah has showed a love and a commitment to God that would shame anybody. She's gone, listen, this woman's made a great sacrifice, hasn't she? This woman has made a great sacrifice. God has given her something. And then she said, I'll tell you what I want to do, Lord, because you've given me something, I shall give it back to you. You've given me something, and I shall give it back to you. She used what God gave her to worship the Lord, to bring glory to God. That day she made the biggest sacrifice of her life. But it says, but she still rejoiced. My heart rejoices in the Lord. And try and put yourself in that situation. Your most precious thing in the world, you've got to not lose forever, but give away. And she's still rejoicing in the Lord. Anna was brokenhearted. She couldn't rejoice in leaving her son. She never said, I'll rejoice in giving my son to this temple. It says she rejoiced in the Lord. She couldn't rejoice in giving her son, but she rejoiced in the Lord. And I'll tell you this, look, what a testimony that even when, for us, when things are hard and dark times come and we have nothing to rejoice in, when it feels like there's nothing around us, nothing's going right, we can always still rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is always the same, yesterday, today and forever. His love never changes. Nothing can separate us from his love. Lord, if I lose all my money, if I lose all my family, if I lose all possessions, if I lose the shelter on my back and the roof over my head, I still have you, Lord. I still have you. We can always rejoice in the Lord because God is a constant. Never will I leave you or never will I forsake you. And you know what that is? That's a promise. God is saying to you, you're never going to be on your own no matter where you're at. You're never going to be on your own, no matter where you're at. That is a promise of the Lord. And I've made a note here, just to hit on exactly what Shane was talking about earlier on, that as Christians, we ask God for a lot of things. But very rarely, well, I do in my own life, very rarely do I give him praise and thanksgiving for all the things he's done. We need to be a people who are giving God praise and glory. So I tell you what we're like. And whether it's the enemy or our own flesh or our own fears, our own doubts or whatever it is, but we go, Lord, I've got something coming up. I'm going to have a test. But it's been coming up and I'm not sure how it's going to go and I want you to move in this situation. And then when we go and things, and I've seen it a million times, and it all comes back to nothing. The enemy will plant doubt in our head and go, well, you wasn't even ill, really, was you? You just making a big thing out of it. That wouldn't have happened anyway. What's the point? And then what we tend to do is we just think, oh, it wasn't nothing. Yeah, I was worried over nothing. But how are we to know that in them moments, that the things that we've prayed for, when I get to heaven, maybe I want to stand before the Lord and I say, Lord, show me all the things that you did that I didn't even realise you did. All the things you've done for me and kept me, and the things I didn't even realise that you did, Lord. The times that I was sick and I prayed for you to do it and you healed. The times that hard times was coming and you picked me up and swept me up and held me in your arms. The times I never had nothing you provided. The times I didn't even realise when you had your hand on me and kept me from danger and kept me from harm and kept me from wrong. You know, sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I thank you for all the things you've done and for all the things I didn't even know you've done. God has been gracious, and we need to be a people who give thanks unto the Lord. Psalms 107 says, I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed, we are the redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east, as far as from the east, is from the west, and from the north is from the south. How many great things has the Lord done for us? The Bible tells us to rejoice, to give thanks unto the Lord. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, sometimes we want to see big things happen. And we get down around these, we say, thank you, Lord. But thank God for the small things as well. Thank God for daily provision, health and strength. You got your family around you, you got your family around you, that you're able to tell people about Lord. That you love. I thank God that he loves me, that I know that I'm loved, that I have someone in my life. I know a lot of things going on in this world that can make us sad, that can bring us down. There's lots of heartaches and pains and wrongs and worries and stresses and problems. But let's never forget to thank God for the things that he has done. He's worthy of that, isn't he? He's worthy to give him thanks, honor, and glory. It says, no one is holy like you, Lord, for there is none besides you, for nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, she says. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. She's saying, listen, you can't accuse me of them things you've been saying to me anymore. That woman won't be able to say them things about me no more. Thank God for the things that God stops, that he puts a stop to. For the Lord is God, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him all actions away. Anna begins to give glory to God and say, look, Lord, there's none like you, no one compares to you. And let even the arrogant and the proud, let their mouths be shut, because you know all things. People are coming and saying, she might have been saying that, you're never going to have a child, God don't love you, this is never going to happen. You ever heard the naysayers come to you and say, something's never going to happen? But you know who's got the last say? The Lord. Hallelujah. He weighs the actions of a man. He has all knowledge and knows what he's going to do and what he ain't. It's whether it's in God's plan or not. People say, oh, we even think of ourselves, do we? Oh, what's he going to be praying for that? He's never going to do it. How do we know? Do we know the mind of God? What did he say to Job? Who are you? Where was you when I told the waves they can only come so far? When I am the moon and the stars and the earth in place? Where was you when I made the mountains? Who do you think you are? Who do you think we are to say that God won't do a thing? If that's the case, what's the point of doing anything? Lord, you weigh the hearts of men. You're the one with all knowledge, and you're the one who knows all things. And we trust in you. We trust in you. And I tell you what I've learned in God. When I pray to the Lord, I don't always get the answer I want. But God always does what he wants to do. And I trust that. That's good enough for me. Lord, if you're doing what you want to do, then that's what I've got to learn to trust in. Not be disappointed because I don't get what I want. He's saying, let there be no more talking of arrogance, because you've had a lot to say and you don't even know what you're talking about. I'm having a child now. There's all you're saying, God won't do this and God won't do that. Look how God just turned it around straight on his head. It says in verse 4, the bones of the mighty men are broken, and those who are stumble are girded with strength. She's saying everything that was good and strong has come to nothing. And the things that was nothing and was feeble and weak, God has put strength into. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased from hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. Things change. One minute things are up, next minute things are down. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up, and he raises the poor. Listen to this. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit a throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon him. Anna knows how fragile life can be. 1 minute things are up, next minute things can be down. The people who are strong, they become weak, and the weak become strong. She's been subject to torment and ridicule by her husband's wife for many years, but now the tables have turned. What was impossible, God has now made possible. And that is the work of the Lord, isn't it? It says later on, it says that God had closed Hannah up. She couldn't have children. It was impossible for her. She knew it. And now all of a sudden, the impossible has been made possible. And later on, Anna goes on to even have even more children. Because when God heals, he heals completely. Hallelujah. Anna was in an impossible situation where only a miracle would do. And thank God, God was able to change Anna's circumstances and give her the desires of her heart. Anna, God was able to change Anna's circumstances. Let me tell you something. We must believe and understand that God is able to do all things. And if he wasn't, what would be the good of worshipping him? I feel like crying for him, dear. It's alright, it's alright. Don't take notes from me, alright, they're alright. Right. Okay. God is able to change our circumstances. And if God isn't God and he can't do that, why would we worship him? We serve a God who can do impossible things, don't we? The Bible says with man things are impossible, with God all things are possible. When I pray, I know I call up, we're not praying to statues and pieces of wood and false hope. God ain't my genie, but when I pray to God, I must know and believe that he can do all things, that he can do miracles, that he can heal people of cancer if it's according to his will, that God can change circumstances, that God can do miracles. That God can do great things. I seen a video the other day, that little boy who's abroad, he was in an hospital. Doctors couldn't figure out what's wrong with him. He was walking out of the hospital the other day. God can change things around and do things. When doctors stop, God can move in. Doesn't mean he always has to. Doesn't mean he always does. But brothers and sisters, come on. We believe in a God that can do impossible things. And you know he can do that impossible thing in? In me, in my life. So tell you what we think prayer is. We pray for other people and we believe God can do it for them, but we don't believe God can do it for us. When I pray for other people, my faith's like that. When I pray for myself, it's like that. Because we're frightened of disappointment. We're frightened of getting it wrong. We're frightened for asking for the wrong thing. We're frightened for praying for saint and putting our hopes on saint and putting our heart into saint and our love into something, and we don't get what we've asked for. But no, we have to start to pray, Lord, I pray for this thing with all my heart, but I pray according to your will, if you want me to have it. If you want to do it, Lord. God is able to change the circumstances and do miracles. But Anna prayed a prayer of faith. She trusted in the Lord. But what do we have to do? We see what Hannah did, and God answered her prayer. Do we have to do the same as Hannah? What do we have to do to see God do these things in our lives? Have you ever prayed and sometimes you get that feeling, if I pray louder and I pray harder, God might hear me? If I was a better Christian, God would listen to me more. If I had more faith, God would listen, God would do what I'm asking him. What do we have to do to get our prayers answered? Well, none of these things, none of the things that I've mentioned. Let's see what the Bible says about the requirements for getting prayers answered. Right? 1 John 5:14 says this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. So this is talking about having, how can we have confidence in the Lord? By this. This is what he's about to say. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is the requirement for me to get my prayers answered? If God wants me to have it. That's the requirement. Nothing to do with me. Strong Christian, weak Christian, pray loud, pray quiet, go to a quiet place by myself, fast and pray for a week, scream and holler, go and get the preachers to lay on and pray on me, anoint me with oil, all these things. The Bible does talk about them things, about anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith does mighty things. But what are the requirements for me to see my prayers answered? Because we're reading about Anna, and straight away I start to think, Lord, I want to see these things in my life. What I mean by these things is, I don't want no more children, but I want great miracles. The chavvies are out the window. Finished. But I want great miracles, amen? We want to see great things. And the requirements, it says, what is the confidence that we had in him? That if we ask anything according to his will, he is us, Lord. Do you want me? I'm going to pray, Lord. Lord, I ask for this, but according to your will. And I have to be happy with the answer. So what I need to pray is, Lord, not change the circumstances. Lord, if it's your will to change the circumstances, but if it's not your will, then give me the strength to go through the circumstance. Me and Johnny was talking about it tonight, and he said, we pray for God, take us around the obstacles, Lord. And the man he was listening to said, we don't need to pray that. We need to be praying, make us stronger, Lord. So we can go through it. Give us strength. Not that we run away or we be cowardly, but Lord, give us the strength to go through this. Because these things are going to happen. God is putting us through tests and trials to make us into the men and women that he wants us to be. And our faith and our confidence has to be this. Lord, your will be done, Lord. I pray according to your will. Because otherwise, God's just a genie, isn't he? I know I can ask the Lord for anything. It doesn't mean I'm going to receive everything I ask for. So what has to change in me so I don't get disappointed? And let me tell you something. I know in my own life as a Christian, and me and my wife, and probably yous in here, we've prayed for things, haven't received them, and we've been a bit gay. Because it never happened. And we wanted it to. And I think that's all Christians at one point or another. So how can that stop? How do I get to a point where I can trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want these prayers answered. I'm not going to stop asking for them because you've told me to ask for them. But if I don't receive it, I'm not going to be disencouraged because I'm happy, Lord, and I accept what you want for me. And I think a lot of our life, the struggles that I have in my own self is accepting the things that God has in store for me. Look, if I bring something upon myself, and I cause myself issues and problems, them I want to change. Them things I want to change. If I've done something wrong, or brought a problem on myself, or caused problems in my marriage, or problems outside of me, all them things I want to change, and I can change. And I'm told to. But how about if I'm in a situation, and I'm in a storm, and it's dark, and it's very hard, and I don't like it, but that's exactly where God wants me at that point. How do we deal with that? We accept God's will for our life. And that is the hardest thing in the world to do, isn't it? Because sometimes all of us wish that Christianity, that prayer in particular, was a way of us getting what we wanted. We all think like that sometimes. I really wish God would give this to me. But let me tell you something. The Bible says God knows what we need. God knows what he needs to do in our life. And we have to trust in him. And that's the hard part, brothers and sisters. Getting blessed is the easy bit, isn't it? Asking for something and God going bang, which I've seen millions of times in my own life, and I mean that, pop, like that, God's just giving. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, I rejoice in them things. But what is hard is praying and accepting God's will in hardships. And you know, I think it's time that for me personally, in my walk, that I mature and I start to say, Lord, you know what? I know I will receive all things that I've asked for according to your will. And that's what grown-up Christians pray for. That's what grown-up Christians pray for. And we need to get out of our head that Christianity or prayer is a way of us getting what we want, and rather it's God's way of getting us involved in his work. As we read through them scriptures, Hannah is talking about how God changes things. The bows of the mighty men have now been broken, and the weak have now been given strength. She's talking about how things have changed round and turned on the red. And God can do that for us. And remember this, if you are going through an hard time or a storm, it's a season, Nothing lasts. Sometimes seasons go on for a long time. I mean, the Jews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you know what I mean? But it was still only a season. They come out in the end and went into the promised land. Do you know what I mean? She talked about all these things and how God is able to change, and we must believe that he can change. We must believe it's possible. But we must also remember that our secret to us getting the things that we pray for is when we pray according to his will. He says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. He's going to protect her. She knows that God has always had his hand upon her, and he's going to shut the mouths of her accusers. For by strength no man shall prevail. What she's saying is, listen, in my own strength, from my own will and desire, I couldn't make it happen. No matter how much she wanted, no matter how much she tried, she couldn't make it happen. But God can make it happen. Because no man can prevail in his own strength. Because it's by the strength of the Lord we need to stand. And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And he will give strength to his king. And exalt the horn of the strength of his anointed. And Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered or served the Lord before Eli the priest. When Anna finishes her prayer of thanks, when she finishes her prayer of thanksgiving and talks about that no one can rely on their own strength, but only rely upon God. And then she leaves Samuel there, leaves the child with at the temple with Eli the priest, and she goes away. And it says that she returns yearly. Later on it says she returns yearly with clothes that she makes him, robes and things like that. And at them times, that's when she's seen, but All the days of his life, he served in the temple. Now, Anna was a great woman and an example of faith and purity and dedication to the Lord. But Anna's greatest example for us is what was talked about earlier on about sacrifice. Now, I think that personally, I think that to teach the full counsel of God, to be able to preach the Bible properly and what it means to be a Christian, we talk about being blessed, about praying, about seeking God, about evangelism and all these things. But one thing we must realise, part of Christian life, is sacrifice. Her greatest example to us was that she sacrificed. She gave up something she loved for the sake of honouring God and worshipping him. And that's what Christian life is about. That's what I want to end on. I want to talk about Hannah's great sacrifice. Now, he was always her son, and he was alive and well, but he worshipped at the feet of the Lord in the temple. And that's something that she had to hand him over. And just like Abraham, when he put his son Isaac on the altar, Abraham was willing to sacrifice the thing that he loved for the sake of the Lord. Anna was willing to sacrifice the thing that she loved for the sake of the Lord. When David came to buy, which is now the Temple Mount, and he went to purchase it, and he was king, and he said to the man, it was a high place, and he said, I want to buy this place and build a place of worship. I'll buy it off of you, so I want to build a place of worship to the Lord. And they all knew David was a man of God, and the man bowed before him and said, look, you're the king, I'll give it to you, you can have it, it's mine, it's my land, you have it, Lord, I won't take no money off you, you're my king, and you want it for the Lord. And he went, no, David wouldn't have it. He said, no, I'm not letting you give it to me, I'll buy it off of you. And he went, no, Lord, I can't let you do it, I'll give it to you, you have it, it's your land. And he went, how can I give something to the Lord that has cost me nothing? That's what David said. How can I build a temple for the Lord? How can I give to the Lord which has cost me nothing? Because the truth is, if something doesn't cost, then it's not sacrifice. And I want to tell you now that Hannah's sacrifice for the sake of being dedicated to the Lord, to worshipping God, to giving glory to God, it cost her. And brothers and sisters, we live in an age now where, anyone, I'm no different than you. I'm a minister here in this church, but I'm a Christian. We're all Christians. And it don't matter what church you go to, gorgeous travellers in a foreign country or this country, no matter where you go, the world, people are living their best lives some of the time. Right, and where I think Christianity is getting a bit soft. I remember hearing stories about dear old Nora, Davies Nora, pulling rings off her fingers and earrings out of her ears that Davey'd give her presents, things she had for years, and chuck them in the tithe bag for the sake of the work of the Lord. I know brothers who've sold their personal possessions, family heirlooms, gold and jewellery and things like that, so they can go and put a mission on. And there's no roses in their garden, their reward's in the Lord, and I wouldn't rob them of that. I wouldn't share details or rob them, because their reward's in the Lord. But one thing I'm trying to say, yeah, and there might be another time they might go and buy a new motor, because what happens, like Anna was saying, one time things are up, the next things are down, and life can be like that. But we have to realise that our dedication and our service and our love for the Lord must continue, especially if it costs us. That's the best type of Christian service and giving, the one that costs. Because if we only give God when we can afford, whether it's money, time, encouragement, if we only give to the Lord when, and I'll tell you what I mean by giving to the Lord, if I've got free time, if I've got a bit of spare time, I'll go to church. If I've got a bit of spare time, I'll go, I'll go and visit somebody. If the time, let me tell you something, I don't know about you, 24 hours ain't enough hours in a day, is it? Especially if you've got a family and you're married and you've got homes to keep, you're so dear to run homes and so thin, the men are going to work, the women are going to work, they've got children to look after, all this. Where is there any spare time at? There ain't no spare time, is there? Sometimes there's no spare money or any things, but I want to encourage you that as Christians, you will have to sacrifice, not to me or this church, but to the Lord. And it'd be things that we love, whether it's time, lifestyles, family. Sometimes your family's going to get upset with you when you have to go and serve the Lord, or you're doing St. Christian, but you wouldn't go to the wedding, or you wouldn't go to the party. You're saying, "Is that not legal? Because I'm going to go," and they're going to be upset. Well, then that's a sacrifice, isn't it? They're going to have to be upset, aren't they? It cost Anna to prove her love to the Lord and stand on to what the promise that she'd given and give thanks to the Lord. It cost for her to worship God. Even Mary, she came in, she broke the alabaster flask. I preached it a few months ago. It was expensive. It cost her. It costs to be a Christian in some way at some point. And if you can live a life as a Christian and it ain't costing you nothing, I would say there's a good chance you probably ain't a Christian. Because Christianity costs. Whether it's in your life, your lifestyle, in the way we think, the way we have to let go, the way we've been brung up, the way we used to think, all these things we have to let go, and we have to sacrifice what we are and things we love for the sake of worshipping God. And let me tell you something, there's nothing wrong with that. And your rewards are in heaven, hallelujah. God is no man's debtor. No one gives to the Lord and comes back empty-handed. No one gives to the Lord and comes back empty-handed. And I'll tell you what I mean. You remember the parable about the talents? One man had 20, one man had 10, one man had one. Those who invested them, who put in for the things of God, they received more back, didn't they? Because God is no man's debtor. And you can't outgive God. And I know this, when you give unto the Lord, whether it's your time, your encouragement, your money, your evangelism, when you give and give up things and give unto the Lord in your life for the sake of God, then God blesses, hallelujah. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And I encourage you, listen, it does cost to be a Christian, but it's worth it, hallelujah. It's worth it to give unto the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.